John chapter 20, 24 through 29. I'm going to jump right into this. I hope my throat holds out. If I cough a little bit, don't hold it against me. Harriet, the church gossip and self-appointed supervisor of the church's morals, kept sticking her nose into other people's business. Several residents were unappreciative of her activities, but they feared her enough to maintain her silence. She did make a mistake, however, when she messed with George. She accused him, a new member, of being an alcoholic. She based this after seeing his pickup truck parked all afternoon in front of the town's only bar. She commented to George and others that everyone seeing it there would know, in fact, that George is an alcoholic. George was a man of few words, so he just stared at her for a moment and then just walked away, actually not saying a word to her. Later that evening, George quietly parked his pickup truck in front of Harriet's house, and he left it there all night. Sometimes sight is not the best sense to use in order to determine what is real and what is not real. Tonight I want to continue some discussions. In November we talked about worry. This morning I used Bible class time and talked about depression for a little bit. Tonight I want to talk about doubt. And for those of you struggling emotionally, let me encourage you, let me give you a copy of an outline, let me give you an audio CD. Come and let me pray with you and for you. Sometimes, again, sight is not the best sense to use in order to determine the things that are real and the things that are not real. Our eyes cannot always determine the truth. You know, sometimes something may look real and not be real, just like George and Harriet. But something else may not be seen at all, but be very real, such as the air you breathe. Sometimes it requires faith to turn our doubts into action. As we get to Thomas in John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29, Jesus has already made several appearances after his resurrection. The rumors, of course, are flying. Many people are coming forward and saying, I have seen the risen Savior. In this group of individuals that are coming forward and saying, Jesus is alive, He is raised from the dead, in this group of people that are claiming to have seen Him are the disciples, except Thomas. You see, Thomas had not been around when Jesus appeared to the other disciples behind locked doors. Maybe it was due to fear. Maybe it was due to depression. Maybe it was due to disillusionment. Maybe it was due to discouragement that Thomas decided that withdrawal seemed to be his only method of dealing with what he perceived to be the loss of his friend and the loss of his master and the loss of his Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. When you get downtrodden, when you get sad, when you get depressed, when you get worried, what do? Where do you go? Do you decide it's a good time for me to run away from everyone? Do you decide to hide? Maybe you're a person that opts to stay in bed and pull the sheets up over your face and try to disappear from reality for a little while. Do you try to pretend that nothing is going on at all? Or do you make it a point to get with other individuals that can help you through a rough situation? As I have grown a little bit older, and as I have experienced more things in my life as I get older, I have realized and accepted and now proclaim that it is okay to hurt. It is okay to bleed emotionally, and it's okay to tell people. It's okay to be upset from time to time, for life is not always going to work out the way you want it to. It's okay for you to not be perfect. It's okay for your family to not be perfect. It's okay for you to not function perfectly 100% of the time. When we look at Thomas, I believe it's fair for me to say that Thomas was just not ready to get over hurting. He wasn't ready to get over the pain, at least not that easily. And as much as he may have wanted to believe, for whatever reason, he simply could not accept the accounts of others, at least not without proof. Hindsight is always 20/20. It's always easy to be the Monday morning quarterback. When we look back at Thomas, now that we know the end of the story, we tend to scoff a little bit at him, don't we? We say things like, well, how could he not believe? I mean, didn't Jesus tell him he was going to raise from the dead? How could he not believe that? I mean, all his buddies had seen him. All his friends, the people he should have been able to trust, came up to him and said, Jesus is living. Thomas was just ignorant. He was ignorant for not believing. Really? This world is full of people who behave the same way 2,000 years later, even in Christian circles. What I found in life is that we want the church to be a place that's filled with perfect people. We expect the church to be a place filled with holy people, because if the church is filled with perfect people and holy people, then I can believe in the church. I can want to be at church if it's filled with good and holy people. Helps us to believe that there's goodness still left in this world. We want preachers to stand in front of us, and we want them to give eloquent sermons so that we can get motivated in our service. We want our lives to be free from pain, and we want our lives to be free of any form of suffering, because if our life is free of pain, and if our life is free of suffering, then we can believe in the goodness and mercy of God. We want God to answer our prayers so that we can keep believing that God is interested in our lives. We want the gospel. We want the church, the Bible. We want even other Christians to keep on giving us proof after proof after proof after proof after proof after proof. Have you ever felt like you missed something big, that you were the last one to know? Have you ever felt like you were not spiritual enough because of your past failures? Have you ever felt like maybe you could believe a little bit more in Jesus if you could just catch a glimpse of Him? If you have ever felt like this or anything like this, then you would have been in good company with a disciple named Thomas. Looking at the Bible's background, what do we know about Him? If you go to Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 16, the Bible tells us, "Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles: Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also became a traitor." We know from this passage that Thomas was a follower of Jesus. Thomas was a disciple of Jesus from the earliest days of the public ministry of Jesus. Thomas had to make a choice to follow Jesus, and he made that choice. And he invested his life into seeking more and more and more about Jesus. We also know from these verses that Thomas was an apostle. We know that he was chosen by Jesus to be one of the 12 leaders within that larger body of disciples. Thomas had become one of the core leaders, and he spent a great deal of time with Jesus. We also know, despite the reputation of being a doubter, that Thomas was loyal and that he was very committed to following Jesus. If you look at John chapter 11, Jesus, as we go to John 11, Jesus is facing increasing hostility. As Jesus decided that he was going to go and he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, there was some concern from inside the circle of what's going to happen if they try to kill Jesus while he's going to take care of Lazarus. Listen to the words Thomas uses when he talks to the other disciples in John 11, 16. "Let us also go, that we might die with him." Does that sound like a skeptic or a doubter to you. But we also know that at least in one other instance, Thomas was a confused follower of Jesus. As Jesus was preparing the disciples for his upcoming death, resurrection, and ascension, he tells the disciples that he is going to prepare a place for them and that they would know the way to where it is that Jesus is going. Thomas clearly shows that he does not understand what Jesus was teaching them that day. And he says in John 14:5, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" So with all of these introductions and background information out of the way, if Thomas was such a loyal follower of Jesus, if he was such a dedicated disciple of Jesus, what happened to him? How could he go from such a strong follower that's willing to go and die with the Lord to such a skeptic of his resurrection? We could say that Thomas was in a downward spiral at this point. Thomas had deserted Jesus. Thomas ran, and Jesus died. Can you imagine the emotions that Thomas might have been experiencing at this time? Afraid, confused, ashamed of what he had done, dismayed, distressed. His desertion of Jesus ultimately led to a delay. We know from Scripture that Thomas does not go to be with the disciples right away. The result of taking his time and not immediately going to be with the disciples, the result is that Thomas loses out on the fellowship of the disciples and he does not see Jesus when he makes that appearance. John chapter 20, let's start in verse 24. We'll look at verse 24 and 25. "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the twelve, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, put my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" The delay of returning with the disciples ultimately led to denial. When Thomas does not go and return to the disciples, he hears in these verses that Jesus has in fact raised from the dead. And not only did he raise, Jesus has appeared to them. Can you imagine the greatest moment in all of history, and you missed it? Not only did you miss it, Jesus was there with the disciples, and Jesus is alive, and Jesus knows that you deserted the fellowship. It's a big deal. These verses do not necessarily insinuate that Thomas knew how anything took place. These verses do not insinuate that he knows if Jesus is going to appear again to the group. It doesn't really say he knows anything else about the resurrection. At this point, all Thomas knows is that he missed it. The denial ultimately led to a demand. Thomas denies the testimony, and this leads for him to demand proof. Thomas tells the other on his terms that he will not believe unless he gets to see Jesus for himself. And then he goes a step further. He wants to put his finger into the print of the nails. He wants to put his hand into the side of Jesus. Thomas was quickly caught in a very dangerous situation, and he was, in just a snap of a finger, caught in a downward spiritual spiral. The fact of the matter was that Thomas was slipping. And the fact of the matter is that he was slipping quickly. And the fact of the matter is that no one but Jesus could help him now. John 20, 26 and 27. "And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here, and look at my hands. and reach your hand here. Put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Over a week goes by, and there was no appearance of Jesus, and then he shows up. And when Jesus appears, he greets the entire group, and he turns his attention to Thomas. Can you imagine what Thomas might have been thinking at this point? Maybe some of the point of, yep, here it comes. But Jesus knew the heart of Thomas, because Jesus offers Thomas exactly what he was asking for. And Jesus offers him the proof that he needed, at least this day. Jesus begins to speak to Thomas about the real issue at hand, and he cuts right to the chase as he tells Thomas, stop doubting and believe. There are times in life when having doubt is healthy, and it's good, and it's reasonable. Case in point, this week I've got about a dozen emails, and apparently there's some people wanting to give me $1 billion if I send them my important information. Sometimes it's good to have doubt in life. But you know, sometimes having doubt is another issue. I mean, there was more than enough reason to believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. Jesus was crucified. Jesus was dead. And Jesus was buried. But the tomb was empty. And he had been seen by so many people. Having doubt becomes negative when it leads you in your life to choose not to believe. And the only way that you will ever be able to survive your doubts is to believe in something. Believing means to put your complete trust in something or someone, and to believe in Jesus Christ. To believe in Jesus means to depend totally on Him and to place your trust in Him 100%. So let me ask you a question. Do you believe in Jesus? Have you put a complete trust in Him, or have you just put a partial trust in Him? John 20, 28 and 29. Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Thomas gives such a dynamic declaration. Thomas goes from demanding evidence to now declaring truth. Thomas has made a personal declaration of trust in Jesus. So let me ask you to be honest with yourself and God as we close tonight. Where are you in that process? Have you made your declaration of Jesus being your Lord, your God, your Savior? Folks, what is it going to take for you to trust Him in faith in every issue of your life? What will it take for you to trust Him with your finances? What's it going to take for you to trust Him with your emotional well-being? What will it take for you to trust Him with your marriage and with your children? What will it take for you tonight to believe that you matter to God? What will it take for you to believe that if folks on this planet don't have a relationship with Jesus, that they're lost? What will it take for you to believe that God wants you to be part of that process to bring the lost back to Him? And what will it take for you to believe that God wants you to spend an eternity with Him? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. How is your life tonight, and is your life what it needs to be? Have you stood before men confessing Jesus as the Son of God? Have you had your sins washed away in baptism, having your name put in the book of life, ready to live as faithful of a life as possible? Have you done those things but have now gone into the world and allowed sin to re-enter your life and to now build a separation between you and God? Folks, this is a very serious matter when it comes time for invitation songs and to make sure our life is right with God. And so if your life is not right tonight, please do not leave this building in an unsaved spiritual condition. If we can help you in any way, shape, or form, God calls you to come forward while we stand and sing.